Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October the 3rd, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Beautiful if you like rain and wind. Because that is basically what we've had for the last, 5 days since Thursday. All from that Hurricane Ian. You know, thoughts and prayers to all the folks down in Florida. Rough way to go with that one. But, you know, our thoughts are with you. Hopefully you can get it all figured out. Florida strong. I saw that on a bunch of shirts yesterday on football. Florida strong. So, Florida strong. We love it. And we have family down in Florida. We have family that had to come up here from Florida due to the situation. And, yeah. But everything besides that is good. Ton of rain, which we needed. I think everybody always needs rain. Wind, I don't know. Don't always need the wind, but it is what it is. I just thought I would sit down and see if I can, you know, share some thoughts on what's going on in my life today. I was laying in bed last night thinking about coming to do the podcast, and I was like, God, what is, do I have any problems? Do I have any problems? Sobriety, for me, has brought me such a great life that I truly really don't have any problems. I have one problem, and the problem is that I got a parking ticket maybe 3 weeks ago, and I know this is petty. It is, but this is weird. This is, you know, out of all the, you know, owning a business, raising children, all the stuff that goes along with just those, and being married, right? Just those three things, I have no problems. But the one thing that I do have is a stupid parking ticket. And it's, you know, I went to a meeting on, I guess on Saturday, a buddy of mine was celebrating the year. Congratulations to him. It's awesome. But the meeting was like, you know, I think it was an As Bill Sees It meeting. And the guy read from one of the pages out of the book. And I forget what page, and it isn't really important, but it was really, you know, the interesting part of it was about serenity. And, you know, I've shared before, I was sober 5 years and went back out. Actually, I was sober about 4 years and went back out. And then I had to change my sobriety date again a couple years into it because I had been taking pain pills. And for some reason, I felt like that wasn't really affecting my sobriety. That's fucked up it was. But it was. I mean, I don't know if it was, but I know that if I was going to move forward, I needed to address it, and I changed the date. And so, but, you know, it was the topic of serenity came up, at least in my share, because I did share, and I was like, you know, because, you know, I remember when I drank after 4 years, how easy it was, right? I'd done all this time. I'd worked on my sobriety, meetings, you know, going into rehabs, taking meetings into jails, sponsoring people, carrying around a beeper for people that were struggling. Just, I felt like really trying to do all of the things that I was supposed to do when getting sober, working the steps, having a sponsor, doing a four-step, all of this stuff. And when I look back on it now, I realize it was all just self-serving, you know, and I think it's important. I do think that if I hadn't gone through it, I wouldn't really understand it, but it would take me going through all of that again to start to figure out that, and I shared this in the meeting, that for me, you know, the definition of sobriety is to be free of drink, right? And that's what I was for the first 4 years of my journey on trying to get to a point where I would be sober and serene. And the first 4 years was all about sobriety. It was all about free of drink. Because when I was actively using, I loved it, right? I mean, yes, I would sit at the end of the day, or I would have moments during the day where I'd be like, oh, my life's shit. But I really must have loved it more than I hated it, because I kept doing it. I kept doing it, even though at the end of the day, I'd be like, I need to quit. Every day, I'd be like, I need to stop. But at the end of the day, I would do it again, because I must have loved it, right? I must have liked doing that more than I wanted to be sober. And I did that, you know. And then finally, when I, you know, got my fucking ass whooped, and it knocked the self-centered side of me right out of my head, I was able to take a second, take a break, and start trying to get sober. And unfortunately, it was so self-serving that it didn't really take much for me to go out and drink. It didn't really take much. In fact, it took a thought, right? And I have shared that there was a few things that started to sort of happen, started to unravel my relationship with the program. You know, when I was in Rehoboth, I was very tight, had a big community of people, a lot of friends. But man, when I moved, it just took one little thing, you know, and I've shared this. It was about how they collected money. And I just, for some reason, that just annoyed me, right? I had zero peace of mind. I was all self. And it just started to, you know, for the first 4 years and living in a community, and it was just tightly wrapping that ball of sort of thread or yarn into, you know, my program. But it just took one little thing to start to unravel it. You know, people always say you're either working towards a drink or you're working away from a drink. And for a long first 4 years, I was definitely working away from a drink. But it just were those one little things. And it just exposed really the foundation of my sobriety, which was none. Like, my foundation was sort of built on sand, I would say, because it took zero effort to knock it over. And, you know, that spool started to unwind. I started to work my way away from the program. And I just got far enough. And then that voice was like, hey, man, look how good you've done. You should try drinking again. And I did. It was terrible. But that was all it took. And in the meeting the other night, we were sharing, or somebody was sharing about, you know, going back out and stuff. And I said, you know, it's going to take, I guess really in the end, it didn't really take much. We'll be right back. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts and it's hard to get it out. So I'm just trying to work through this. So the fact was that, you know, it didn't, like I said, it didn't take much to sort of unravel me to get me to a place to go back and drink. And so when I came back into the program, you know, it was, I knew one thing, I had to try to do something different because what I had done the first time when I'd gotten sober just didn't work. And it seemed in my mind that I had done everything correctly. But really what I had not focused on was serenity. And I shared in the meeting the other day, I go, you know, for me, it's all different layers, right? There's sobriety, which is free from drink. And then there's serenity. And the serenity part is what's very important to me this time. Because I had no serenity. Because if I had had some serenity when that voice had showed up, I would have been able to figure out a way to avoid doing what it was suggesting, which was to pick up a drink. You know, people always say, you know, it just takes an argument. You know, it just takes somebody to tell you one thing or, you know, a boss to, you know, correct you or do something that upsets you. And the next thing you know, you're back out drinking. And maybe that's the case, but I always believe that if that is the case, most likely the person didn't really want to quit drinking. I've been there. You know, I've shared before that the program just never worked for me. It never worked for me. I was a bad example of a person trying to get sober because I couldn't be honest, for one, with the people who were probably wanting me to get sober, and for two, I couldn't really be honest with myself. Or maybe I was honest with myself, which was I just didn't want to get sober. I enjoyed drinking and drugging. I just liked the party. I liked the social part of it. I liked the badness, right? I liked the dark side of it, and I didn't really want to give it up. But I would go to meetings and I would do stuff and I just always struggled and I just definitely couldn't be honest with the people in my life. And why would I be? I mean, why would I tell my parents, nah, I really just don't want to be sober. I just like getting drunk. And God, that would be, at least I sort of held on a little bit. But the fact is that, you know, it's all layers for me today. And, you know, I shared that it's that fifth step, you know, is really where the serenity part started to show up. And it's the first time it starts talking about it in the book where, or I don't know if it's the first time. It's the first time I noticed it, I should say. I don't know. I may talk about it before. But in that fifth step where it talks about sobriety and peace of mind, really, for me, that's just showing there are different layers. And there are definitely times where I'm just sober and I'm not that serene. There are times when I'm sober and serene. You can't be serene, I don't think, and not be sober. I mean, you have to be free of whatever thing it is that you do before you can find serenity. But today it's really about serenity for me. And so what I was saying in the meeting was that, you know, because I share, you know, I talked about that book, Drop the Rock, and it talks about those people in the boat. If you've read the book, I think it starts off with the story of this group of people on a boat headed to Serenity Island, right? It doesn't say it's a group of drunks headed to Serenity Island. It says it's a group of people headed to Serenity Island. I'm imagining that they are all free from drink, right? I mean, you got to be free from the drink to get on the boat to go to Serenity Island. And it talks about the lady that starts swimming towards the boat. I think it's Mary, and they're swimming. They're yelling out, "Mary, come on, Mary, you got this!" And Mary, because Mary wants serenity, right? Mary clearly must have sobriety because she's making an attempt to get to the boat, but she wants serenity, and that's me. You know, I was sober, but I didn't have serenity. And as Mary is trying to swim to this boat of a bunch of people headed to Serenity Island, she keeps drowning or keeps sinking underwater because she's carrying around this rock, right? And, you know, if you haven't read Drop the Rock, it's a great book. It's on step 6 and 7, which is, you know, key to me, right? I had been sober, when I started to understand this shit, especially when I started to, when reading the Drop the Rock and started working on this steps 6 and 7, did I really start to understand that a lot of the rocks that I carry around my neck, right? A lot of shit that I drag around that prevents me from being serene. And, you know, if I look back at the when I was over in Easton and, you know, the way they counted the money, that became fucking some sort of rock, right? You get into, or I had gotten into so many habits at the meetings that I was going to when I was living down here at the beach, that it just, the lack of serenity made every new thing come up in my life as far as sobriety went kind of annoying, or something that I really paid attention to. You know, what time the meeting was at, how they collected the money, what was the layout or the, you know, the protocol of the meeting, when did they read the serenity prayer, whatever it was, whatever the habits that I had gotten into, when I started to have to do it a different way, all these freaking new rocks started to pop up. Started to be annoyed. Then all of a sudden, I didn't really want to go to that meeting. And it just, you know, it just slowly wound up to a point where I ended up drinking. And so, you know, I guess what I was sharing in the meeting is that, you know, I don't feel like there are things that happen in my life that kick me off my spot hard enough to make me want to drink. But I do believe there are things that happen in my life today that kick me off my spot that leave me less serene, right? And so today, that's what it's really about, is I don't, listen, I could go drink today, I guess. I mean, there's always that possibility. I don't particularly feel like that's going to happen, but I have to watch my serenity. And, you know, as a person that really doesn't have many problems, and I was thinking about this last night, what's, you know, if I'm going to do a podcast tomorrow, what do I want to talk about? What's some problems I have? And I don't have any, you know, for the most part. You know, I shared, you know, there was a couple weeks ago that some comments were made on another podcast that people didn't like, right? And I felt so bad. And I shared this in the meeting too. It's like I felt so bad because they didn't like them, that I had to make like an immediate amends, like I had to do a 10th step. You know, I apologize. I apologize for any inconvenience. Sorry for the, you know, the hassle, yada, yada, yada. Please forgive me. And, but all week, all last 2 weeks, it still bothers me, right? It still bugs me. I still want to say something about it. And what I shared in the meeting was, I don't actually believe that what I said was actually wrong. I just don't think that the person that heard it, I think it sort of called them out, you know? But I don't think it was wrong. It was actually sort of a joke, and it was actually sort of funny. But, you know, if you want to take everything out of context and put it down on paper and say, look at this, oh, my God. I always, you know, I've said before, it's all fun and games until it's written down on paper. And that's sort of how this sort of worked out. It was written down, and people were like, oh, we can't believe you would say something like that. And, you know, it was like, actually, they didn't say that. They just said they don't want to have any association with the podcast. And I was like, oh, my God, I apologize. I'm so sorry. But I don't know if I really said anything wrong. So the point is that it's been fucking with my serenity, right? Because I made my amends. I cleaned it up, you know, like I was taught, and like I really like to do, and what I do, and I try to teach my kids this as well, is like, listen, if you make a mistake, admit you were wrong, figure out the part that you played, make your amends, and move on. Don't become a victim of it. And I feel like I'm sort of becoming this victim of it because I can't move past it. And I've been accountable. I've recognized the part that I played, and I've made my amends. But it still bugs me. It's still effing up my serenity a little bit. And so it's not making me annoyed enough. It's not kicking me off my spot hard enough where I think I'd want to go drink, because I don't. I would never, I have no desire to drink. You know, I'm lucky enough. I went back out. I drank, right? I got the pleasure of being sober and then picking up a drink. And the real joy is making it back. But I came back as like, you know, with eyes wide open, like, oh, shit, I was missing so much because I was only focused on not drinking. And the joy of it is the serenity. And Listen, I can still struggle with certain things. And here's another one. This is another one. That's so back to that, though, you know, I'm sort of done with it. I'm over it. I moved on. You know, I've made, you know, I've made text. I've text people in my head, right? I've made phone calls in my head. I've made my point to their face in my head. And now I have just got to let it go, because at the end of the day, I'm grateful that my serenity tells me that all of that behavior, that all of that imaginary stuff that I would have liked to have done, would have done nothing but hurt my person, the guy I am, my character, right? You can't have good character and then fly off the handle and then look like a complete fool and then expect people to think that you still have great character. So I'm grateful that I didn't react like I would have liked to. But if I had, my serenity would have been fucking completely blown up. And I don't want that. I love being at peace, right? So I'm moving on. But that was sort of a rock that I was dragging around and I'm sort of trying to let go of. But this other rock is this stupid fucking parking ticket that I got a few weeks ago. And this thing's created a lot of justified feelings and stuff that they are dangerous to kick me off my serenity spot. This isn't something that I would go and drink over, right? And to quickly go through the story, because I'm sure other people would have a different opinion, but we had gone down to the beach where we live is, you know, it's parking, right? We have parking issues. It's all metered parking. I've lived here 30 years. When I first moved here, it was just, you know, you put the quarter in the meter. And then they went into these, you know, more digital meters where you have zones and areas. And then they went to Park Mobile. And so we had gone down to when my wife's grandmother passed, GW, she bought the boys some watches. And we took them down to Harry Kay's down in Rehoboth to get the band sized. And we went down there and listen, I parked, you know, I get it, right? You park, you pay for parking, no problem. I've been here long enough. I know the game. And so we went down and paid for parking, but at this point in my parking life, usually everything I do is with my phone, like a Park Mobile app. And when you do Park Mobile, it's pretty much has all your information in there. It just kind of puts it in. You just, you know, tap it and pick the amount of money you want to spend or whatever. But this day, for some reason, I couldn't get the Park Mobile app to work, so I had to use my card. And it asked you for, so I thought it was asking me for my zone number. If you're familiar with this style of parking, you basically, like if you park on a block, it's a zone, 85311, zone 85311 or whatever it is. We've gone through so many parking. The evolution of parking in Rehoboth has changed so many times, it's hard to kind of keep up. But the mistake that I made was it asked for the first thing it says is license plate. Well, I couldn't see, because this is one of these kind of big box screen things that's out on the corner of the road. And I'm trying to, and I couldn't really see it. So I just put it, I thought it was asking for my zone number, which in the past, it usually, at one point in my parking life, there was a time where we put in our zone number. So I put in the zone number, and I thought I put in all the correct information, paid. It took the money. It took my money. You know, we bought the parking spot. Walked down the street, got the watches sized, and came back. And this is honestly, this is like on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. I mean, we parked, clearly out of town. I mean, we were the only car on the block, which is another question that pops up in my mind is I wonder if some little sensor goes off that tells the parking guy that, oh, someone's fucked up, come over because you got a quick, easy money here. I'm going to pretend that doesn't happen, but I feel like it does. And so we come out and there's a ticket on the car and I'm like, what the fuck? I paid the freaking parking. So I open it up and it says, where I put the zone, it was supposed to be my license plate. And I'm like, oh, great. So we go down immediately. I go over to the parking meter place. And I'm like, listen, this is what happened. I paid for it. And he goes, just go on to our website and fight it. And they'll probably, you know, take it down or remove it. I was like, great. Come home. get on the website, go on their thing, dispute it, yada, yada, yada. I get a letter in the mail on Friday. I owe $120 now for an unpaid parking ticket. Oh, brother. Hey. Well, there's my one problem I have in my whole life right now, a parking ticket. And this is like, you know, what is it? Powerlessness, right? Powerlessness seems to pop up a lot in my life with the way the world is today, because it doesn't seem like you can just get shit done, right? Like, I can't just make a phone call and say, hey, Mike, down at parking, hey, I paid. You took the money. I bought the spot. I just put the wrong thing in the information. Can you work with me here? And listen, I guess I like watching some reaction videos on YouTube, and this guy was reacting because this lady got pulled over because she had a headlight out, and she was claiming that she was being harassed, and she, you know, this is harassment, and the guy's like, lady, take the fucking ticket. You got, your headlight is out. And I get that, and I did, if we're going to go by the book here, I absolutely made a mistake. I put the wrong thing in. I am, you know, my question is what, you know, and I think if we all have to put our information in a lot of different things, right? Whether it's you're buying an app, or you're on your online checking, or you're buying a membership to Netflix, all of these sort of platforms, you know, if you are going to buy something, or it's going to require a credit card or some sort of information, it's pretty rigorous, regimented on, I think that's a better word, regimented on how and what information you can put where, right? You can't start typing in your license plate and your credit card number in the credit card line, right? It'll be like, you can't do that, wrong. You know, it doesn't allow it. It guides you through every step so that in the end you put all the correct information in. Rehoboth's parking meters don't do that. They allow you to put the wrong information in and then take the money anyway, which I guess, to me, seems shady. I'm sure they have their hearts in the right place, but to me, it's a little shady that they allow me to put in the wrong information, still take my money, and try to make me pay a ticket. Like, what the fuck? So this stuff gets it's aggravating. And so if I'm going to look at it as a person with serenity, I would say, okay, listen, all right, you put the wrong information in. That's your mistake. Be accountable. Pay it and move on. Don't become a victim of it. But I'm sort of becoming a little victim of this parking situation, because I feel like, first of all, I disputed the ticket. Never heard anything from the town about the dispute. Oh, we've heard your dispute. We believe that you were in the wrong, so you need to pay the $30. Never heard anything from them. So now I'm late. And then also in the letter, it says, if you do not pay this ticket, you are not allowed, or your car will be towed if you come back to Rehoboth. I've lived in Rehoboth for 30 years, and now the town's telling me I can't come back because I got this parking ticket, which sort of sat kind of weird for me as well. Granted, I did put in the wrong information. So it's weird. I mean, in the end, I made a mistake, but I feel like the town, I don't know. Listen, man, it's my one problem. It's all I got. And I'm going to work on it today, because I do believe that I'm in the right. You know, if I'd had not paid for the spot, if they had not taken my money, I mean, in the end, what's the point? You buy a spot to park in for whatever amount of time, which is what I did. And parking is not cheap here in Rehoboth, just like I'm sure it's not cheap anywhere. But when I parked, it took my money. I bought the spot. I just put the wrong license plate number in. Well, I put the zone number in instead of my license plate. Confused. I apologize. But I did buy the ticket. I bought the spot. So I feel like the town should be like, hey, no big deal. We'll fix it. No charge. You bought the spot. A little misunderstanding. But it doesn't seem to be going like that, and it's very aggravating to me. And I'm having to work it out. And luckily I am. Thank God. I will not be drinking over this, but it has kicked me off my serenity. And I could tell when it starts kicking me off my serenity, because I start thinking about doing, like, bad things to bad people, right? Or bad things to people or bad things to businesses or something like that. Like, I revert back to this 10-year-old kid that's going to go off and just burn down the town over a stupid parking ticket, which, of course, I would never do. But when I am in that mode, I know that I am not living a life of serenity. I'm living a life of self. And I like to live a life of serenity. I like to be happy and I like to have peace. And I don't like to think and imagine doing bad things to people because of a parking ticket. So let's see if I can do a quick reading and then I'll just let you go. Thanks for letting me share because that was sort of on my mind here. Let's see, Daily Reflections. I haven't read this in a while. Daily Reflections. I thought about it. I like the book as Bill sees it. But I don't know if I want to read that. Let's see. All right. That's so funny. So today's reading is called Serenity After the Storm. And I've said this before. I do not look at this. This is my favorite part, is to sit down and babble about a bunch of whatever and then look at the daily reflections and then find out that it sort of has something to do with what... The title, at least, says it sort of has something to do with what I'm going through. But it says, Serenity After the Storm, October the 3rd. Someone who knew what he was talking about once remarked that pain was the touchstone of all spiritual progress. How heartily we AAs can agree with him. Someone who knew what he was talking about once remarked that pain was the touchstone of the spiritual progress. Yeah, absolutely. You care, right? It's called caring. 12 steps and 12 traditions. When on the roller coaster of emotional turmoil, I remember that growth is often painful. My evolution in the AA program has taught me that I must experience the inner change, however painful, that eventually guides me from the selfishness to the selflessness. If I am to have serenity, I must step my way past emotional turmoil at its subsequent hangover and its subsequent hangover and be grateful for continuing spiritual progress. Absolutely. Yeah. Sort of what I'm saying, I thought, or sort of what I'm sharing is that, you know, I don't think I would ever, never know. Don't feel like I'm headed towards a drink. But I definitely was headed off my spiritual, my serenity. And these are the kind of things that kick me off of my serenity. As important to me as sobriety is, serenity has become my new number one importance. And just trying to figure myself out and trying to figure out what I can do better and handle shit better and find some sort of serenity. But whatever. I hope everyone's having a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye.